Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
If we've not met, my name is Luke. I'm on our pastoral team. And as we mentioned earlier today, as we move closer to Christmas Day, we are in the theme of joy this Sunday. And we'll be looking at a passage that we've been in for the past couple of weeks in Luke chapter 2. And asking what joy has to do with Jesus' arrival, what joy has to do with today. I don't know if you caught this week, there was a news item that came out about a town in Western Germany that had a chocolate factory that malfunctioned, and chocolate literally leaked out into the street, creating... And then firefighters had to come and, like, chisel it off, apparently. And so not a bad day to be a firefighter. That doesn't really have anything to do with the sermon at all. I just wondered if you saw it. I just thought you might like to know that there are towns in Germany where chocolate factories malfunction and spread out all over the world. It's good news. We're in Luke chapter 2, and this is what verses 8 through 10 say. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. And they were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people." I learned a really simple song as a child, probably in Sunday school. You might know it as well. It goes, "I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart." Okay, apparently you know it. Some of you might know that wonderful Simpsons version as well. If the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on a tack. Ow, sit on, anyway. Flanders children are coming to mind. "I've got the joy down in my heart to stay," is what the song says. And that was probably the first time that I learned that life with God has something to do with depth. That life with God has something to do with what goes on in the deep places, and that joy is somehow down there, and that joy is something that is actually anchored. So my experience of growing up in church largely was really good. There was many great Sunday school teachers and others around them who taught and modeled things with real love and real clarity. But there was a time when the church hosted a preacher who, as I recall, tended to lean a little bit heavy on fear tactics. And much of what I heard frightened me. And I learned then to be afraid of God, who I was told might punish me unless I put things right, kind of as soon and as frequently as possible. I think the preacher probably did have good intentions, but to me, when I heard this as a child, it sounded like a lot of bad news with a little bit of good news sprinkled in, so long as you played your cards right. And so, thinking about God and doing things like praying began to make me feel anxious, and to some extent afraid. There's plenty of news that we read every day that brings about fear, isn't there? There's an economic downturn, and things don't look as promising as they did last year. War breaks out in some impoverished place. The tests come back for us. They come back positive, when we were sure that we had the disease beat. A divorce drags on and on, and the wound grows wider with every back and forth through the lawyers. The job posting closes, and you hear nothing back. News like that means that fear creeps in with all of the negative what-ifs, all of the anxious wonderings. Fear and bad news tend to go together. And fear, we're told, actually has a place in the Christmas story also, but it's not in the place that we might expect. St. Luke tells us that the Christmas news that the frightened shepherds heard is good news of great joy for everyone. The news of God's arrival in and through the life of Jesus is going, we're told, to heap not more fear on the world, but instead bring a robust helping of joy. And in fact, that's what we hear often throughout Luke's biography of Jesus. Often Luke tells us that when Jesus turns up, he's received with joy. It's a main theme of his telling of events. And when Jesus turns up, he brings joy, especially for people who haven't got much to be joyful about. And so joy is this common response in the Gospel of Luke to Jesus turning up. And we're told that it has something to do with the news that he brings. It's simple news, what we call the gospel. But we tend to forget what it has to say, or we get it absolutely wrong. The news is that God loves and hasn't forgotten the world. He isn't turning a blind eye to everything that turns our stomachs. Instead, God is pleased to belong with us, to do whatever it takes to restore what's fallen into disrepair, even if it means falling into a kind of disrepair himself. And we see all of this, of course, in and through the life of Jesus, who makes clear who God is and how God relates to creation. But as one writer puts it, sometimes people talk and think about the gospel, they talk and think about the news, as if John 3:16 says, "For God so hated the world that he gave his only son," and not, "For God so loved the world and he gave his only son." And that's a bit of a problem. And perhaps it has something to do with our lack of trust that when we look at Jesus, we really can know who God is and what God's like. So this time of year, when we spend a lot of time looking at Jesus, even at Jesus' birth and Jesus' infancy, we're afforded the opportunity to remember that God isn't someone that we relate to through fear, but God is someone we relate to through love. And that's the good news at Christmas. And it's news that puts all other news in perspective in the entire cosmos. That's why in Joy to the World, we were singing earlier, it says, "Let heaven and nature sing." This brings joy to the world, not just joy to you and to me and to humanity, but joy to the universe. It's news that says that God is present in his creation. God is involved. God is committed to you and to me through love. And the result of this good news that puts all other news in perspective, or all other news in its place, says St. Luke, is joy. Joy is how the universe responds to God's presence. Joy is how we respond to God's presence when we understand who God is through the person of Jesus. And that's what the Bible says happened when this good news breaks in on us, like it did on the shepherds, and when we welcome God. Receiving God, being open to God, results not in fear or despair or shame, but just the opposite. And so Christmas reminds us that it's really not as if God is like another bill in the mail, piling on the pressure. It's not as if God is a disapproving employer with constantly shifting standards, someone we never feel we can get the right side of. It's not as if God is a tyrant king, like Herod that we read about, who'll do anything to stay on his throne. The Christmas news says that God is different. So when God turns up, We needn't bolt the door, shut off the lights, and go into hiding. We can actually throw open the doors and the windows because God's arrival means good news. And we respond with joy because the burdens aren't laid on when God arrives, but they're lifted. We find ourselves at home with a person, as the psalmist says, overflowing with love and devotion. That's Psalm 86. If we were to look further on into Luke's gospel, we meet a character named Zacchaeus. He's this shady character, isn't he, in Luke's gospel? And we're told that everybody in Zacchaeus' town, everyone in Zacchaeus' neighborhood, loathed him, hated him, because he'd sold out his people and he'd sided with the enemy. And so if you're looking for a quintessential bad guy in Luke's gospel, you don't have to look much further than Zacchaeus. And yet, what happens when Jesus turns up in Jericho? He marches right up to Zacchaeus and he says, in effect, "Let's have lunch. Let's be friends." Luke tells us that the crowds, to put it mildly, are displeased. And that's probably understandable. After all, Zacchaeus was the enemy. He's crooked. He's a real villain in their eyes. But Jesus, we're told, doesn't see Zacchaeus only as a villain. Jesus doesn't arrive to punish all of the villains and the enemies, but shockingly, to make friends out of them. That's what Paul says in Romans 5. That's what happens when God arrives. His love fills up the room, drawing together all of us, even the people we don't think he should be drawing together, he draws together. And probably no one would have been more surprised than Zacchaeus at Jesus' offer of friendship, which is why we're told when Zacchaeus welcomes Jesus into his home that he welcomes him with excitement and joy. Jesus has a wonderful knack of putting all the myths we hold about God out of the room, doesn't he? Jesus bursts our bubble, and he shows us the truth about God and God's love. And through Jesus and understanding Jesus and welcoming Jesus, it's able to come through, and with it, joy. There's a very old German carol. I'm not going to read it in German, but it says this in English. "Break forth, O beauteous heavenly light, and usher in the morning. O shepherds, shrink not with affright, but hear the angel's warning. This child now weak and infancy, our confidence in joy shall be." To put it another way, I've got the joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. I think staying is a very important word in that children's song. Confidence and joy is what comes along with welcoming God, because with God we get a certainty about where we stand and who we are. Not a certainty in ourselves or in our efforts to be a good person, trying to find joy from just working harder to be a better person is a tall order. But joy comes as a result of waking up to God's consistency and God's kindness. And that puts everything else in perspective because it runs incredibly deep. It puts our faults in perspective. God's love can handle us. It puts other people's faults in perspective. God's love can grow in us so that we begin to see and love as God sees and loves. It puts everyday life in perspective because God is an anchor, a stabilizer, a bringer of consistency and depth to our otherwise shaky lives. And that's what I don't think I quite picked up as a young man when I listened to that preacher who shared about God from a bit of a fear angle. But that's the truth of Christmas, and what we're learning to rediscover every day as we get to know God as God is and not who we might imagine him to be. Too many people live in a shadow when they think about God, a shadow of fear and shame. And Christmas is the very best time of year to disabuse one another of that fallacy, isn't it? And let the truth sink in to the deep places, a truth that actually brings joy. Don't be afraid. This is really good news for everyone. God's here. I recently heard a story about a priest who was living in London, but had grown up in the country. And from time to time, he would travel out to the country to visit his friends and his family and spend time out there. And where he would stay was surrounded by farms. It was surrounded by fields. And with it, if you've ever been to England, surrounded by sheep. And so he'd spend time walking around, and he got to know over the years the different people that were in the area where he was from, even though he wasn't living there full time. He got to know one particularly old shepherd, an old shepherd who'd been doing it for years and years and years. And he was standing out one day with the shepherd in the field as the shepherd was looking out over the feet, over the sheep. And the priest said to the shepherd, "I've heard different things about what you use that staff for. I've heard that you use it to hook the sheep by the throats and pull them in the right directions that you want them to go in. I've also heard that you use it to whack them on the head when they step out of line, to make sure that they don't step out of line again, that they remember." And the shepherd said, "Oh yeah, a lot of people think that that's how and why we use these things, but mostly what I use it for is I take the staff and I plunge it as deep as I possibly can into the ground. And in doing that, I then lean on the staff and it helps to stabilize me. It helps to keep me very, very still. And if I stay still long enough, eventually, the sheep begin to trust me." It's not a bad picture of God. Not someone who runs around yanking us by the neck, forcing us to go places that we don't want to go. Not someone who whacks us on the head when we step out of line just to teach us a lesson. But someone who comes to stay and stay very still that sometimes we're not even sure if he's there, but stays with us, close to us, long enough that eventually, skittish as we are, we begin to trust him. And I'd wager that meeting a person like that would, to some extent, perhaps bring us some kind of joy because we have confidence in their character, especially when we've expected somebody different, somebody who pulls, somebody who whacks. And that's not the picture we have of God in Jesus. That's not the picture of the man on the cross or the baby in the manger. And that's why the carol says, "Joy to the world." Joy to the world. When God's arriving, that's good news for everyone. And that's why, as we heard earlier, it implores, "Let every heart prepare him room." When we welcome God, we discover a new depth of confident joy beyond our circumstances, beyond ourselves. Confident joy because God's arrived, and that's good news. If you are in need, of an experience of knowing that God's with you. Today's a good day to open your heart and prepare room. So we're going to pray, actually, and maybe you've prayed a lot, maybe you've never prayed before, but it's just a moment for us to open our hearts to God in the middle of this hurried season and say, God, welcome. Flood me with your love. Flood me with your kindness. Flood me with the truth of who you are. And with all those things, joy. Confident joy. Let's pray. Oh God, in your grace and in your kindness, would you disabuse us of all of the myths we hold about you, all of the reasons that we might think that you turning up or that us being more open to you is something to be afraid of or to feel shame about. Thank you for your grace, your kindness, your love, God. So this morning as a group, we open up to you. We open our hearts to you. We prepare your room. And we ask in Jesus' name that you would fill us with your love. Would you press the fear out? Push the darkness away. Would you relieve us? Would you lift the burdens of our sin, of our shame about who we are, what we've done, all those things that keep us up, all those things that haunt us, God, we let go of them in this moment, and we trust you. We welcome you, trusting that you're not going to hit us, trusting that you're going to hold us. Thank you, God, that you hold us, that you're close, and that this time of year reminds us that you are here and you're not going anywhere in your creation. So we pray that you'd bless us today as we go on to the rest of this week and help us to discover you in all the places we might not yet expect. And with that, joy. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Bless you. Have a great rest of your Sunday. We'll see you next week.